At this time of year, many people turn their attention to the Holy Land, but who knew you could find it in Washington, D.C., just uphill from the White House? The Holy Land of America was founded a century ago when few Catholics could afford to visit the real thing. It's maintained by the Order of St. Francis, which is charged with preserving Christian holy sites. Their replica includes catacombs, shrines, and even a manger. NPR's Jackie Leiden has this audio tour.
My name is Brother Roger Petrus. I'm a Franciscan friar here since 1948.
Brother Roger wears the brown cassock, white rope belt, and friendly mien of a friar.
Okay, now we're going to go this way, please.
Brother Roger knows the difference between the hyper-reality of the Holy Land of America, much of it inside a gleaming basilica, and the far more disordered real place where he spent the last 30 years.
I happened to be there for all the... I was there for the war between the Greeks and the Turks in Cyprus. I was there for the Six-Day War in Bethlehem. I was there for Yom Kippur War in Jerusalem. I was in Jordan on Mount Nebo when the Gulf War took place. So, as I say, those were unpleasant memories, but there were many other happy memories. I had 6 years in Bethlehem at Shepherd's Field. So those are more happier times.
So when you stand here, you think,
the fact that we're working for the Holy Land, mm-hmm. It's not just a place where we're showing replicas, but all our work here is all for the Holy Land. Our major superior is in the Holy Land. He can call me back anytime he wants, you know.
The Franciscans have been in the Middle East since the early 13th century, when St. Francis traveled there from Italy after the Crusades. The Franciscans are now regarded as nurturing a custodial Christian presence. But in Washington's version, under one roof, you can see the site of Mary's Annunciation, where she learned she was to be the mother of Christ, the place of the Nativity, and even the Holy Sepulchre, Jesus.
This is a full-size replica of the Holy Sepulchre, the tomb of Christ, as it appears now in Jerusalem, with two chambers on the interior, the first chamber being the Chapel of the Angels, and then further in, the burial chamber. Now we'll go inside and have a look.
Okay.
So you have to bend through to come into the holy tomb, much as you do in Jerusalem.
Okay, now we're standing inside of what is called the burial chamber, the same size as you see it here. And many times the guys mention Jesus dying on Calvary and being buried, but not too much is always mentioned of the resurrection, because it's the empty tomb, which is the important element of the tomb of Christ, that referring to the resurrection, that there is no body here. Some people, it's strange, even Christians say, well, where is he buried? They forget that he ascended into heaven.
Of course, in the Holy Land of America, the oil lamps are electric, and since they are, there's no blackened, dimly lit ceilings, which makes it so hard to actually see anything in Bethlehem or Jerusalem. You can also cover a lot more ground in early Christian history. Go down a flight of steps, and you're in subterranean Rome.
From here, we're going to continue through some narrow, dark corridors, which are short replicas of the Roman catacombs, the ancient cemeteries of Rome. It was in the catacombs that the early Christians, during times of persecution, gathered to meet and to pray in secret. It was also in the catacombs that many of the Roman martyrs, those who died for their faith in Christ, were buried. Here, we don't have anyone buried, but we have a few altars dedicated to these martyrs, and some of their actual bones were brought from Rome and placed here, which I'll point out to you.
So this is a replica of the catacombs, but here we have no mummies and no mice.
That's right.
The catacombs are more snug than scary, it's true, but then the point of the entire recreation is to make the Holy Land accessible, physically and hopefully spiritually. And it's not Catholic Disneyland, says Brother Roger. He winces at those who call it that. He says it's important to make the distinction between tourists and pilgrims.
When pilgrims come here, and I imagine a lot of them think of themselves as pilgrims, do you think that they have the same intensity of religious experience as someone who's gone to Jerusalem?
Well, I think they have that intention to have a spiritual experience, and there's nothing like making a pilgrimage in Jerusalem. As a matter of fact, sometimes the pilgrims, before going to the Holy Land, would come to see the replicas to whet their appetite and to prepare them in some way of what they're going to see in Jerusalem. I'm going to open the gate leading down the stairway to the grotto. of the Annunciation of Mary in Nazareth.
All right, on our way to Nazareth here.
And here we are in what is called the Grotto of the Annunciation of Mary, where in Nazareth we recall the event of the angel Gabriel coming to Mary to announce to her that she was chosen to be the mother of Jesus, and she accepted. And the Latin inscription below the altar there states that
Verbum caro hic factum est.
That's right. Here the word became flesh.
Brother Roger, thank you so much for our visit here to the Franciscan Monastery's Commissariat of the Holy Land.
Yes, and the Holy Land of America.
The Holy Land of America also includes, on its grounds outside the Basilica, the Grotto of Lourdes, the Stations of the Cross, Gethsemane, Mary's Tomb, and around its considerable cloistered walls, a mosaic of the Hail Mary in 140 languages, including Lakota and Cree. And don't forget to check out the gift shop.
NPR's Jackie Leiden. If even the Holy Land of America is too far away to visit, you can find it on our website, npr.org. I'm Steve Inskeep. That's All Things Considered from NPR News.